Today, sharing the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Daf Ayin Beis. We are learning today Le'ilu Nishmas Ethel Renick, Ethel Kaylee, Bas Chayin Pinchas. All the Neshamas we learn for should have an Aliyah from our learning. We continue to learn for the safety and success of the Chayalim, to bring back the Chatufim, all those in need of a Refuah Shleimah should have one, and the Bishalom and all of Klal Yisrael. We begin three lines from the top, Ayin Beis Umin Aleph, with the words Tana Rabbanan. We quote the following Braisa. Tana Rabbanan, Yisrael Shalava Mos Min Hanochri Beribis Uzikofen Olav Bimilva. You have a Yid who borrowed money from a guy, which is perfectly permissible to do with Ribis, and that is what he did. So Ruvain borrowed money from Chris with Ribis. So let's say he borrowed $100 and he's supposed to pay him back 120. And then he just made the entire amount that he owes Chris to be 120. And then is Gayer. Then Chris became Yankel. Chris converted a Geret Tzedek. And now there is this outstanding loan document from Chris, formerly Chris, now Yankel, to Reuven. So is he allowed to go and collect this 120? It really was 100 plus 20 of Ribis. But the Gemara tells us, the Braisa says, Im Kodim Shin is Gayer, Zikofen Olav Bimilva. If, in fact, this was converted from a $100 loan with $20 ribis to just being a $120 loan that Chris was owed from Reuven, and this was before Chris became Yankel, before he was an Iskayer, so Zekofen Olav Milva, the whole thing is now a $120 loan, so then, go Esa Karen, Gova Saribis. When Chris becomes Yankel, he's allowed to collect the entire 120, because this is a loan of 120 now. And therefore, there's no problem of ribis, because the entire amount is a loan. However, the Imli Achar Shinis Gayer Zikofen Lob Milva. No, there was a note for $100 with $20 interest, and then Chris became Yankel, and then he converted it to $120 loan, so then that is not allowed to be collected. That would be Chris, now Yankel, collecting ribis as a yid from another yid, and that would not be allowed. So go this a carrot. He's allowed to go collect the $100 that Reuven owed to Chris, but he can't go collect the additional 20. So Govis and Karen, the $100 that he's entitled to. However, they don't Govis a Ribis, he's not allowed to go collect the $20 of Ribis, because that's not allowed as a Yid. Similarly, if it was the other way around, if Chris was the one that had borrowed money from Reuven, and again, allowed with Ribis, so Chris borrowed $100 from Reuven and said, I'll pay him back 120. Now they turned that 120 into just a single note for $120 rather than it was 100 plus 20 of Ribis. So it all depends. Chris then is Nisgayer. So now Chris is now Yankel. Now he owes Reuven $120, 100 of which was principal and 20 of which was Ribis. Now, if in fact it was converted before he was Nisgayer, so then he owes 120 to Reuven, and that is a perfectly good IOU. Therefore, Reuven is allowed, Govis, a Karen, Govis, a Ribis. He can collect the full 120 because that is like a note of 120 loan. However, in Mishnah Iskayer, if Chris became Yankel, he converted before they made this note in from 100 of a loan and 20 of Ribis into 120 loan, so then it's too late. In Mishnah Iskayer, is a coffin of the mill. If he turned it into a 120 loan instead of 100 plus 20 of Ribis, but after he converted, so then Reuven can only go and collect the $100. Govis a carrot, the $100 he can collect. They don't govis a Ribis, but he can't collect the extra 20 because that would be viewed as Ribis. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yossi Omer, even in the latter case, Nochri Shalava Mos Mi Yisrael Beribis, in a case where Chris went and borrowed $100 and said he'll pay him back 120 from Reuven, so then, Benkach Ubenkach, even if this loan was converted to a $120 loan, rather than being 100 plus 20 of Ribis, even if that was done after Chris had converted, Rav Yossi says, Govis, a Kerem, Govis, a Ribis. We allow Reuven to go and collect the full 120. Now, why is that? That sounds like the Tanakhama was right in saying that this looks like Reuven is collecting Ribis. So Rav Yossi's reasoning is as follows. Amar Rava, Amar Rav Chisda, Amar Rav Huna. Rava said the name of Rav Chisda, said the name of Rav Huna. Halachic Rav Yossi, we pass like Rav Yossi. And the reasoning is, Amar Rava, Rava explained my time at Rav Yossi. What is the reasoning behind Rav Yossi allowing Chris to pay the 120 to Reuven? Reuven can get the whole 120 because Kedei Shelo Yomim, we don't want people to say, yeah, Chris really didn't want to convert. He only converted to save himself the $20 of interest. Let's make a couple of extra zeros over here. He borrowed $1 million and now has to pay back $1,000,002. And therefore, he says, so $200,000, I'll become Yankel, I'll convert. So therefore, Kedei Shelo Yomim, the people shouldn't say that the only reason he converted was not to have to pay the interest. So Bishul Ma'osov Nisgayer Zeh, we don't want to be concerned about that. So therefore, Guess what, Chris? Even if you convert, Rav Yossi says, this is all midirabbanan. The rabbi said, in this situation, there is no ribis concern. And therefore, you owe the full amount. And therefore, if you want to convert, convert. If you don't want to convert, that's your choice. But don't convert because of the money. And that's Rav Yossi's rationale. And Rav brought down the name of Ruchis, the name of Rav Huna, that we, in fact, paskin like this opinion of Rav Yossi. In fact, we frequently paskin like Rav Yossi is a das yochid, even over the rabbin. He's the one exception to the rule that normally the rule is yochid v'rabbim, halachic rabbim. Rav Yossi is the one exception because he was very careful in his psak halach. Bringing down another braisa, Tanu Rabbanan, Shtar Shekosu Bo Ribis. If a document has ribis written into it, so Reuven lends Shimon $100, and he says, I'm lending you $100, you have to pay me back $120. So the Shtar has ribis written inside of it. So the Tanakhama says, Kon Sinoso, we penalize Reuven for putting this into the document. The Eino Gove, not only the ribis he can't be collecting, Eino Gove lost a Karen, the lowest ribis. Certainly he can't collect the ribis, because that's an Isser. But we don't even allow him to collect the Karen with this document. We put a knas, a punishment on him for lending with ribbis. So guess what? You're not even going to collect your principal. That's the opinion of Tanakama, Divrei Rabbi Meir. However, the Chacham disagree. The Chacham Amrim, no. We allow him to use the document to go collect the principal, Govis a Karen. However, we also agree, Veino Govis a Ribbis, even though it's in the document, we certainly are not going to let him go and collect the Ribbis payment. In fact, we've already pointed out, if it's Ribbis Daraisa, Ribbis Ketsutza, if he does collect it, the Beitzkin can go and force it back. We passed like Rabbi Lazar over of Yochanan a week or two ago in the daf. We had that whole sugya. And we paskin that in fact the basin can force the ribis ketsutza, the ribis d'oraisa that was collected, to be returned. So here, the chachamim say we don't allow you l'chatchila to go and collect this ribis. But they disagree with Rameir. They say that we don't make a knas to say that the document isn't good even to collect the principal. Now, what are they arguing about? My komifligi. What's this machlokus between Rameir and the chachamim? Rameir sabar kansina and hetero mishum isura. Rameir, very simple. He says, make a knas over here. We want to make sure you don't do such a thing with ribis. So guess what? We're going to penalize you. If you try to make a document with ribis, we're not even going to allow you to go and collect the principal with such a document. For Rabbanan, they disagree. Rabbanan savre lo kansina netera mishum isura. We don't make a knas over here. Of course, we don't allow you to collect the ribis, but the primary loan, that document still remains good. Now, the Gemara says, Tinan Hasim, we learned in a Mishnah, there's a Mishnah in Shvius where it tells us, Shtari Chov Hamukdomim Pesulin, V'Hamu'charin Kisherin. When Reuven lends Shimon money, and he writes a document, and it says that this loan took place on such and such a date. So, if in fact it didn't take place on such and such a date, let's say he wrote that it would take place on the first day of Nisan, and in fact it only takes place on the first day of Iyar. So this is called a shtar chov hamukdamin, because the loan actually only occurred a month later. But if the document says it took place on such and such a day, so then he can go and collect from Shimon's properties at an earlier point in time than the actual loan took effect, because those properties are all leaned. But the lien really only starts on the first day of Iyar, and the document says it's the first day of Nisan. So therefore, this is called a shtar chov hamukdam. So shtari chov hamukdamim, such earlier debts are psulim. You can't go and collect with them. The hamu'ucharin k'sherim. But if the loan was documented to be on, in fact, Iyar 1, but the loan really took effect on Nisan 1, so then that's allowed, because nobody's being hurt by the date that it's written down Iyar 1. The only person who's being hurt is the one who wrote it, the one who lent the money. And therefore, he was willing to accept that shtar mu'uchar to be acceptable, and therefore there is nothing wrong, and he can collect with that, albeit he'll only be able to collect from lien properties from Iyar 1, not from Nisan 1 when he actually gave the loan. Now, mukdamim, the Gemara asks, amai psulim, why is this shtar that's mukdam, that was, it was written for Nisan 1, but it only, the loan actually only took effect from Iyar 1, why is that no good? After all, we should say, nihi, de lo gavu mizman rishon, okay, you can't go and collect from Nisan because the loan didn't take place on Iyar, but at least let him go collect from Iyar. Nigvu mizman sheni, because that's when the loan did take place. And let's say we have independent documentation that the loan did take place on Iyar 1, so then ignore the shtar for Nisan 1, don't let him collect from lien properties for Nisan 1, but why are you saying it's possible? At least let him go collect from Iyar 1. Oh, it must be that we make a knas like Rav Meir, kansin and hetera mishum isura. So therefore, this seems to be a kasha on the Chachamim and in support of Rav Meir. So Amar Rish Lakish, Amar Rishim and Lakish, Rish Lakish says, B'mach Lakish nuya. No, you're 100% right. This opinion that's brought down in Shvius is the das of Rav Meir. Rav Meir he. But in fact, the Chacham would argue with this Mishnah in Shvius. So there is a machlokes, just like there's a machlokes over here in regards to our case, whether we kansa the entire shtar with ribbis, again, like Rav Meir said, or do we say, no, we just don't allow you to collect the ribbis, but we don't kansa the basic shtar, the principle. So therefore, let us say that the same machlokes we have over here is over there in Shvius, and we just pointed out the opinion of Rav Meir in that Mishnah in Shvius. Shtar Yechov HaMukdomim Psulim was only according to Rav Meir. In fact, the Chachamim would say that it would be acceptable, albeit not from Nisan 1, but from Iyar 1. So that's teretz number 1 from Reish Lakish. Rav Yochanan gives us a different teretz. Rav Yochanan Amar, La Dafka, that they're mutually exclusive. Rav Yochanan says, Afil Tem Rabban. If you wish to, you could say that the Mishnah in Shvius actually goes even like the opinion of the Chachamim. Aye, why does it say Psulin? So there you have a special additional reason why it should be possible, even according to the opinion of the Chachamim, that normally aren't Kansin and Heter Mishum Yisura. Because there, Gezeira, if we allow you to go and use this shtar to go collect from Iyar 1, Shema Yigbe Mizman Rishon. You know what? Eventually, the guy may end up collecting from Nisan 1. He'll have the document, and there are witnesses that say, yes, the money was loaned. They won't know to follow that the witness said the money was only loaned on Iyar 1, and therefore, there's a potential for Takola over here, and that this person could incorrectly collect from Mishubit properties from Nisan 1 when he really only had the right to collect from them from Iyar 1, and therefore, Gezeira, Shema Yigba, Mizman Rishon is why even the Chachamim say in that Mishnah Shvius that Shtarei Chol HaMukdamin are Psulin for this very reason. But in general, they would disagree with Rav Meir and say that Rav Meir says, Kansina Netera Mishum Isura, and the Chachamim say, no, Lo Kansina Netera Mishum Isura. And the Mishnah in Shvius is an exception to the rule because of Gzeira Shema Yigbe Mizman Rishon. Gemara continues and tells us a Maisha Sahoya. How Gavra, the once was a person, the Mashkin Le Pardeso Le Chavre, a person had borrowed money. Let's say Reuven had lent Shimon money, and Shimon gave his Pardesa, Rashi explains his Pardesa is his Kerem, his vineyard, as a collateral for the loan. So let's say it was a $1,000 loan, and in the Hagos Habach, he adds over here that this loan was for 10 years, and the Kerem, this vineyard, would be the collateral for this 10-year period of time. And meanwhile, as we had pointed out previously, if you deduct a certain amount for each year, so then Reuven would be allowed to go and take this vineyard and get all the produce from this vineyard, which is what he did. Achlo tlos shnei. So Reuven, who had lent the money to Shimon, got this vineyard back in a collateral situation where he was allowed to use the field. There would have been some sort of nichiyasa. We deducted a certain amount, so he had the right to use the field. And he ate in this field for 3 years. Now, that three-year number is critical because we're learning the Gemara in Bava Basra in Cheskes Kabatim that if, in fact, a person says, I lost my shtar, but I had bought the field and I've lived here for 3 years, we don't expect the person to hold on to his shtar for more than 3 years. Up to 3 years, hold on to your shtar. But beyond that, Ein lo davar sof, if we say you always have to have your shtar, 100 years later, you have to have the shtar. So it was felt that 3 years is an adequate amount of time for a person to establish a chazaka. Nobody complained. The owner, originally, the what's called the marakama, the previous owner, he has seen him eat on his field for 3 years. And if he didn't protest in 3 years, and the person has a taina, he says, I bought the field from the marakama, so then he is believed. So now, with that background information, we can understand our case over here. Let's go through it again. Reuven had lent Shimon money for, let's say, $1,000 for 10 years, and he was given this vineyard to, they took off a deduction from the $1,000 loan for each year, and therefore he was allowed to eat the produce from that field, and he did it for the first 3 years. Now, Reuven is unfortunately a shady character, and Amale, Reuven says to Shimon, guess what? If you agree now to sell me this vineyard, life is good. I'll buy the vineyard from you. I like the vineyard. I've been living on it for 3 years, and I like it. And therefore, I want you to sell it to me. I'm pressuring you against your will. You aren't interested in selling it. People don't like to sell their fields. But Reuven is telling Shimon, I'm pressuring you to sell me this field. If you sell it to me, great. But if you don't sell it to me, the Elo, you know what I'm going to do? Kavishna lo lishtar mashkanta. I'm going to hide the loan document, which says that this field was given to me as a collateral. And you know what I'm going to say? The Amina, I'm going to tell the world, we'll go to Beistin, Lukucha hi biyadi. I purchased it from you. And I purchased it from you 3 years ago. and I've been living on it for 3 years. I have what's called the chazaka of living on it 3 years with a taina, and therefore I can claim that I lost my shtar that I bought it from you, and you have no recourse, but now I'll have the field without even paying for it. In other words, Reuven is pressuring Shimon to sell him it. Now, Shimon is a smart guy, so what did he do? Secretly, with Edim, Ozal kom aknaye livno kotan. He went and gave over to his son, who's below the age of bar mitzvah, so he can't be brought to court, and he gives it over to him as a present, and he does this in the presence of Edim. And let's say he does this on Nisan 1. And then, on Nisan 5, v'hoder zabno nile. He goes to Reuven, and he says, okay, you have me under a barrel over here, I will sell you the field. So, he has a document with Edim that he already gave away the field on Nisan 1. And now on Nisan 5, when he no longer owns the field, he is selling it to Reuven. Now Reuven doesn't know that he gave it over as a matana, and Reuven's very happy. Reuven got what he wanted. He forced Shimon to go and sell him the property. Now Shimon takes Reuven to court and says, that property wasn't yours because I had already given it over to my son as a present. So the Beis Din is going to say, Zvine vade lo heve zvine. This sale from Shimon to Reuven on the 5th of Nisan is null and void because we have a good document saying that Shimon no longer owns this field. He gave it over to his son, the Katan, as a present in front of Edim. So it wasn't Shimon's to go and sell. So the field certainly doesn't belong to Reuven. That is clear. Zvine vade lo heve zvine. Question now is, the Zuze, the money that Reuven paid to Shimon for this purchase, can he get that back? Do we say, Kemilva Bishtar Damu? Well, there is a shtar over here, and therefore, this is a valid document, albeit he can't go and use it to say that he purchased the field because Shimon didn't own the field, but the document does demonstrate that Reuven paid Shimon for the field, so he can get his money back, even from leaned properties, V'gova Minichosi Mishubadim, because it's a good document. Or do we say, no, Odilma, Kimilva Alpedamu, since this document was never a valid document, it wasn't owned by Shimon. So all this document can do is function as a loan orally, a milva alpe, and therefore you won't be able to collect from lien properties, ve'enu gove minichosi mishubadim. So that's the question that was brought in front of Abaye. This Din Torah came to Abaye. Do we say that this document that Shimon had written to Reuven, which is not a good document because Shimon was smart and he had given over the field to his son. So this Kerem wasn't really owned by Shimon at this time, and therefore this document is not a real document and can't even be used to collect from lien property because it's only like a milval pair. Or do we say, no, while it's not able to go and transfer the Kerem over from Shimon to Reuven, but the document is still a good document, and you can collect from lien properties? That's the question. Amar Abaye, they came to Abaye, and Abaye said, V'lav hayu de Ravasi. Isn't this exactly the same din that Ravasi taught? What was that din? The Amar Ravasi returned to Ayin Beis, Amud Beis. Mode bishtar shekisavo eno tzorich lekaimo. Ravasi taught us a very important din, that if, let's say, Reuven and Shimon have a document, and there is no doubt as to the authenticity of the document. Let's say Reuven lent Shimon money, and Shimon argues that he paid it back. But the document is a valid document. Shimon says, yes, that is a valid document, but I paid you back. So therefore, in this situation, Eino Tzorich L'Kaimo, Reuven doesn't have to go and certify this document because Shimon admits that it's a valid document. So Ravasi said, in a situation where you don't have to certify the document will have the strength of being a good document. The Govin Michosim Mishubadim, and everybody agrees in that situation that he can go and collect from Michosim Mishubadim. And isn't our case the same thing? Everybody agrees. Shimon is not saying that this wasn't a valid document. He said he wrote it up on the 5th of Nisan, but he didn't own the property. But he's admitting that it's a valid document. So isn't this exactly the same scenario as Ravasi? And therefore, if it's a valid document, you should be able to collect from Nechosim Mishubadim. So that is what Abaye wanted to answer to this question. But Amalei Rava said, no. Mi dami, the two cases are incomparable. In the case of Ravasi, Hosom Nitan Likosi, that was a real document that had been written up for a real loan. And the only time is, he says it was paid back. But it was a real document, a real loan. And therefore, it was what we call Nitan Likosi. It was allowed to be written down. And therefore, once the party that is going to have to pay from that document admits that it's a real document, it can be used to go and collect from Nechasim Mishubadim. However, in our case, this document was not Litan Li Kosev. Hocha lo Nitan Li Kosev. Because Shimon had no right to go and write that document up. He didn't own the field. Now, he was doing it because he was under duress and under pressure from Reuven. We're not necessarily faulting Shimon, but this document cannot be used to go and collect from Nechasim Mishubadim because, as we just said, lo nitan li kosev. It wasn't allowed to be written down because it wasn't a valid document lechatchila, as opposed to the case of Ravasi, where it was a valid document lechatchila, and therefore ino tzorch lekaimo, and it can be used to collect from Nechasim Mishubadim. We're going to continue to question this idea all the way until the Mishnah in a few lines. Now, Yosef Mereimar was sitting down and learning the Karma Lehoshmaisa, and he said over this memra that we just said from Rava. And Amalei Ravina Lemereimar, so Ravina questioned this and said to Mereimar, wait a second, is Rava really correct? It's something that Lo Nitan Likosev cannot be used to collect from Nechasim Mishubadim? El Lahad Yomar Rav Yochanan, what are you going to do with the following statement from Rav Yochanan? What did Rav Yochanan say? Gizei Roshema Yigbe Bizman Rishon. A moment ago, we just had learned, Reish Lakish had given a teretz, and Rav Yochanan had said, I'll give you different teretz. The reason why, in the Mishnah in Shvius, that even the Chachamim had agreed that the Shtari Chov HaMukdamin or Psulim was because Shema Yigbet Mizman Rishon, because maybe you go collect it from an earlier point in time. And therefore, that was the gzera they made. But Neymar, they should have said, Lo Nitan Li Kosev. Rav Yochanan could have given a simpler teretz. He could have said that it was not a true document. It wasn't loaned on Nisan 1, it was only loaned on Iyar 1, in the example that I gave, and therefore, Lo Nitan Li Kosev on Nisan 1, and that's why it should be possible. If what Rava is saying is correct, why did he give his teretz of Shema Yigodeh Mizman Mukdam Mizman Rishon? He should have just said, Lo Nitan Li Kosev. So Gemara answers, Amalei Mereimar says back to Ravina, no, those two cases aren't the same either. Hachi Hashta, how can you compare the two? Hasam, in the case of the Mishnah and Shvius with the document that was written on Nisan 1, but the loan actually only occurred on Iyar 1, you're right, that shouldn't have been written on Nisan 1, but but it could be written from Iyar 1. So therefore, this is not a document that we say is lo nitan li kosev. It was nitan li kosev, albeit at a different time. But in our case, with the vineyard, hacha lo nitan li kosev klal, when Shimon wrote this document on Hey Nisan to Reuven, it wasn't allowed to be written because he didn't own the property, and therefore this document is lo nitan li kosev, and therefore the two cases aren't comparable. Try again. What about from the following? Elohad Tanya, we learned in the following braisa. Rashi, in Dibra Maschul, Lesheva Karkos Ketzad, tells us, the Reisha Didei, the beginning of this braisa, which isn't in our Gemara, tells us, Ein motziim leachilas peros Lesheva Karkos minichasim mishubadim. If Reuven, let's say, has a document that he can go collect from Nechasim Mishubadim, from Shimon, so he's not allowed to go and collect from Achilas Peros, or from Shevach Karkos, because the eating of the produce, or the Shevach of the Karka, how much he put in to make the Karka better, that can't be collected from Nechasim Mishubadim, b'nei tikkun ha'olam, because nobody then would ever be able to purchase property, because they'll say, listen, there's an achrayus on this property, and if somebody comes along with a ridiculously large claim for how much produce they ate, so then I'll lose the entire property. So people won't be willing to do that. Therefore, mipnei tikkun olam, they didn't allow you to collect from nechasim mishubadim for achilas peros or shevach karkos. So now we understand the braisa continues. Elohad detanya l'shevach karkos ketsa. What is the example of shevach karkos that we're talking about that you cannot collect from nechasim mishubadim? So, for example, HaReisha Gozal Sodeh Mechavero, if Reuven stole a field from Shimon, and then Umichoro Liacher, and Reuven then sold it to Levi. So Reuven stole the field from Shimon and sold that field to Levi. Vishbicha, and Levi who bought it, put in a certain amount of improvement into the field. That's the Shevach Karkos that we're referring to. Varehi Yotso Mitachas Yodo. And now, when Shimon can prove that Reuven stole this field, so he gets the field back from Levi, who bought it from Reuven. Now, Kishu Gove, when Levi goes to claim from Reuven the money that he put into it a lot of Shevach Karka, Kishu Gove, he's only able to collect the Shevach Karka, Gove as a Keren, Minichasim Shubadim, he can collect the principal, whatever he paid, actually Reuven for it, that he can collect 100%, but Ushvach, the amount that he put into it, he's only able to be govem in nechasim b'nei chorin. That he can only collect from nechasim b'nei chorin. Because, in fact, he could have put in a ton of money, and the people whose properties Levi can get that were leaned from Reuven, so they would not be fair. That would be Bnei Tikkun Olam. You can't go and collect from them the Shevach. You can only go collect the principal from those lean properties, but the Shevach you can only get from Reuven himself. Now, why don't we just simply say, Neima lo nitan likasev? This document that Reuven wrote to Levi selling him the field, well, Reuven didn't own the field. He had stolen the field. So why don't we just say, instead of saying this is Shevach Karkin, you can't collect from this Chos Mishubadim, you should have said it was lo nitan likasev. If Rava is correct and saying that lo nitan likasev means that you can't go and use this document to collect anything, so then that would have been the simple teretz. So Gemara again says, Hochi Hashta, the two aren't comparable. Our case with the vineyard is not comparable to this case with the stolen field. Because, Hossam, in the case of the stolen field, when Reuven stole it from Shimon and he sells it to Levi, we had an opinion early in the Masechta, we had this on Daf Tezvav and Machlokes between Marzutra and Ravashi. And according to Marzutra, Ilaman Diomar, who said, Nichole delo nikre gazlona, that Reuven doesn't want to be known as a gazlan. So therefore, he will make attempts to actually purchase the field from Shimon, the one that he stole it from. Or, Leman Diomar, according to Ravashi, who said a different reason, who said, Nihole delekom bemenuse, he wants to be known as a trustworthy person. So when he did sell the field to Levi, he's going to do everything in his power to go and purchase it from Shimon, so he'll be known as a trustworthy person. So either he doesn't want to be called the Ganav, or he wants to be a trustworthy person. We had some slight nafkaminas between these two terutzim on Daf Tezvav. In any event, Mephias Leilamare, he's going to go out of his way to go and get this property from Shimon so he can legitimately have sold it to Levi. And therefore, this is in fact a document, umokim le lishtore. This will make this a valid document. So therefore, it is in a way, niton likosev. But in the case of the vineyard again, when Shimon wrote it on Hey Nisan to Reuven, when he in fact had given it over to his son on Aleph Nisan, hocho liavruche mineko mechavin, Shimon's whole point was that Reuven shouldn't get this property because Reuven was doing something that was a shenanigan. It was not right. And therefore, Shimon, the last thing he wants to do is to give this property to Reuven. So Shtar Mekainle, is he going to say, yes, this is a Shtar that Nitan Likasev? No. This is why Rava said, Lo Nitan Likasev, and therefore you can't collect from it from any leaned properties. It is considered like a Milva Alpeh because Lo Nitan Likasev. That concludes the sugya, and we go on to the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah tells us, Ein poskin ala peros. Now, we had discussed this previously, and we're going to have additional details that are brought down. We had talked about this, quote, forward contract. When a person, let's say Reuven, purchases fruits from Shimon, he pays for them right now. So he's paying right now, but he's not getting his fruits till later on. Now, if he got the fruits right now, so then the fruits are only worth $100. But when he's going to get the fruits later on, the fruits are worth more. So he's getting $150 worth of fruits, even though he only paid $100 right now. That would be ribis midirabonon. And this is called psika. This is called poskin al haperos. And the Mishnah tells us, you're not allowed to do this. Ain't poskin al haperos, because you're paying Shimon $100 right now, and you're going to get $150 worth of fruit later on. So because you're waiting to get your money, so to say, you're waiting to get your $100 worth of fruits, you're going to get $150. That's called agar notar. That's called waiting for your money, hamtonas mos, and therefore that would be ribis midirabonon. It's not ribis daraisa because there's no guarantee that this will happen. There's no guarantee that the fruits will in fact go up in price. There's no guarantee that it'll get you the fruits. So therefore, it's not called ribis daraisa. This is ribis darabonon. And therefore, this is not allowed. However, the Mishnah tells us, Ein poskin al haperos ad sheyetzei hashar. You're only not allowed to do this if there's no set price. But as we had pointed out previously, yotza hashar, if there is already a set price, so then you are allowed to do this, poskin. Why is that? Because the afa pi she'ein lozeh, even though Reuven is paying Shimon the money right now, and Shimon doesn't have the fruits, but other people have the fruits because there is a set shar. And therefore, theoretically, Shimon could go and buy the fruits, and they're now given over to Reuven. And therefore, if they go up in price, they're going up under Reuven's ownership, and therefore it's not called ribis. Because in fact, we view this as Reuven gave Shimon $100, and since Shimon could have gotten the fruits and could have given them right now to Reuven, we consider them as if they're already in Reuven's possession. Even though he didn't do a Mashicha, he didn't do a real kinyan on them, so they're really not in his possession. Nevertheless, since this is only a din derabbanan, the rabbis were makel over here and said, if there is a shar, so then you're allowed to do this poskin ala peros. Because, afo pish ein lazeh, yesh lazeh. Now, Mish continues and tells us, hayuhu tchila lakotshim. Let's say Shimon is one of the first people that harvested his crops. So Reuven goes and pays him $100 for these crops. So posik imol ala godish. So he's allowed to go and purchase this crops that Shimon has because they are in his possession. And even though he hasn't fully threshed it and he hasn't fully made it into grain, so he's allowed to go and be posik imo ala godish because yeshlo, this is the second thing. The first one is there's a shar, yotzah shar, and then we pointed out there's a second kula when you're allowed to be posken ala peros, if yeshlo, if he has it, since he could give it right now to Reuven, it's considered as if Reuven has it, and therefore any increase in the value is considered as if it's on Reuven's watch. Similarly, the al ha'avid shal anovim, if there is a container of anovim, Rashi says we use the lashon of avid for grapes, and we use the lashon of maton for zeisim, but basically, Reuven is paying Shimon for these anovim right now, and he'll get eventually wine. So he's paying him right now for these anovim, but he'll eventually get the wine from these anovim. And likewise with the olives, he's paying for them right now. Al hamaiton shozesim, he's paying for this container of olives known as a maiton, and he'll eventually get the olive oil. So that's allowed also because we view in all of these cases as if it's already belonging to Reuven. And likewise, now al habeitzim shoyotzer. Beitzim are basically these balls of clay that the yotzer, the potter, is going to go and fashion into utensils. So these beitzim are already around, and therefore he's allowed to pay the yotzer right now, even though he's only going to get it later on as a full-fledged keli, because in this situation, they're in existence, what we call yeshlo. And the final category, again, a similar thing, is v'alasid, a lime, mishishiko ba'kivshon. As soon as it's in the kivshon, into the kiln, so then it's considered in existence, and therefore, even though he's going to make it into lime later on, so it's not yet lime, but it's there. So yeshlo, in all of these situations, you are allowed to be posik, you're allowed to go and pay him right now, even though the product that you get later on is a more valuable product, and it looks or could have, might have had the appearance of ribbis. So we say no, since we view it as belonging to Reuven already right now, it went up on his watch, and therefore it's not considered ribbis. The Mishnah continues and tells us as well, uposik imo ala zevel. The Tanakama over here says that you can likewise, Reuven can go pay Shimon for Zevel, and he'll be considered as if he owns the Zevel right now, because there's plenty of Zevel, the excrement of the animals is ever present, and therefore, even though he may not have it directly right now himself, it's easily obtainable, and therefore you can pay him right now and take possession of the Zevel later on when it may be worth more money. That's the Tanakama's opinion. And furthermore, you can do this koyimos hashana. We don't make any distinction between the rainy season, the winter, and the dry season, the summer. We don't make a distinction between yimos hachama and yimos hagishomim. We'll see that this is important when we get to the Gemara on Daf Ayin Dalet. I'll point out in a moment why it's important. In any event, this is the opinion of the Tanakama that you can go and make this forward contract to pay for the Zevel right now, even though you're only going to take possession of it later on. And this is true whether it's yimos hachama or whether it's yimos hagishomim. Call Yimos Hashanah. Rav Yossi disagrees. Rav Yossi Omer, Ein Poskin Ala Zevel. No, you can't go and make this forward contract on the Zevel, meaning I'll pay you now 100 and I'll get $150 worth of Zevel, unless El Imkein Hoysalo Zevel V'Ashba, unless he has his own personal Zevel already in his garbage dump. He has the Zevel already. Not that he could easily get it, but he has to have it right now. So Rav Yossi says, no. Whether it's the summer, whether it's the winter, unless you have the Zevel, I disagree with you, Tanakama. We don't allow you to go and say, well, it's readily available. You have to have it in order to be able to do this poskin, this forward contract. And then we have the opinion, the Chachamim Matirin. The Chachamim say, No, you're allowed to do this. Now, obviously, the Chachamim sound like the Tanakama. And the Gemara, Nadaf Ayin Dalid, is going to have to tell us what the difference is. And as I already alluded to, it's going to be the difference between Yemos HaChama and Yemos HaGishomim. So that will be the opinion. The Tanakama says, Koy Yemos HaShana, we don't make any distinction between Yemos HaGishomim, Yemos HaChama. Whereas the Chachamim, after Rav Yossi, the Chachamim Matirim, they will only permit it for Yemos HaChama, when the Zevel is readily accessible. It's already dried up and accessible. In the Yemos HaGishomim, it's out there in the rain, so it's not readily accessible, the Gemara will say, and therefore that would be the difference between the Tanakama and the Chachamim. In any event, we'll see this on Daf Ayin Dalet. Not tomorrow, the next day. Okay. Uposek imo bishara gavoa. Furthermore, when you're doing this deal, if you want to go and guarantee when you're paying right now $100 to get something later on at $150, well, the reason why you're doing it in a way that, it, let's say, either yesh lo, he has it, or there is a shar, so we say it's not a ribbis concern, that's fine from the ribbis concern point of view. But what happens if he wants to protect himself so it shouldn't go down in value? Right now you're saying, well, I'm paying you $100 now because I expect to get $150. What happens if you're paying him $100 right now and it goes down to $75? So in that situation, he is allowed to say, the Tanakhama says over here, Uposek imo bishar ha-gavoa. Rashi explains the shar ha-gavoa means the better deal for him, the higher deal for him. So Reuven, when he's purchasing this from Shimon, can say, listen, if it goes up to $150, I get to $150. But if it goes down to $75, you still got to pay me $100 worth, and that's allowed. Uposek imo bishar ha-gavoa. That Reuven gets the better of the deal. If it goes up to $150, he gets to $150. If it goes down to $75, he still gets the $100. Rav Yehuda disagrees. Even if he didn't specify this, he didn't put this into the contract. He didn't say, well, I get $150 because I'm paying you $100 right now. But if it goes down to $75, I still get $100. Even if he didn't put that into the contract, Yehuda says it's automatically implied. Yochel Lomar, he can tell him, Tainli Kozet, either give me $100 worth or Otainli Esmosi, or give me back my $100. And this is not even a Mishapara, Rashi says, because it was understood that this was the deal. Nobody's giving over the money right now early in order to get $75. They're doing it to get the $150. And therefore, it's implied here, and it's not even a Misha Para if the deal doesn't go through. It's certainly, it's not owned. He just gave him money, and the money is not Kona. But it's not even going to be Misha Para, Rashi points out. Okay, that's our Mishnah. Now let's start the Gemara. I'm Ravasi, I'm Rav Yochanan. Ravasi is the name of Rav Yochanan. Ein poskin ala shar shebishuk. Ravasi says that you're not allowed to go and be posek, even if there is a shar. Now, that seems to go against our Mishnah. We'll get to that in a second. First of all, Amar le Rav Zeira Ravasi. When Ravasi said this din over, Rav Zeira questioned, he said, wait a second, Amar Rav Yochanan, did Rav Yochanan say his din that you're not allowed to be posting al shar shebishuk? Afilu kedormus hazeh? Even if there's a dormus, Rashi explains, dormus is itlas rav agodol. It's like a major market. And even if the major market prices are set, even in that situation, did Rav Yochanan say you're not allowed to be posting? That is the best scenario for there is a shar. So if there is a shar there, and Rav Yochanan says that you can't do this, then when would Rav Yochanan say you can? So Amalei, so Rav Zeira responded back to Rav Asi, and he said, no. Lo Amar Rav Yochanan, Ela B'shuk Shalai Yaros. Rav Yochanan didn't say this about the Dormus. No, in the Dormus, that's a real shar, and therefore, those you're allowed to be posek ala Dormus, on the shar of the Dormus. When Rav Yochanan said, Rav Asi brought down the name of Yochanan, Ein Poskin al Shar Shebishuk. He was talking about the small little shuks in the small little towns, Bishuk Shalayaros, as opposed to the Dormus, the Lo Kviya Tarayu, because their Shar, Tarayu, the Tuf and the Shin are interchangeable, like Tiklin Charetin and Shkolin Charetin, Chadoshin. So therefore, this Tarayu means the Shar. He says, in the small little towns, so there, the Shar is not so set. But in the Dormus, in the big marketplace, or in the big city, so then, that is set. So Yochanan only said his din, Ein Poskin al Shar, it's when it was a small Shar of the Ayaros. So the Gemara says, but according to the original question, Rav Asi asked him, Ulaman de Solik Adaita Meikara, what was Rav Asi's question originally? The Amar Rav Yochanan, Afilu Kedarmus is there. Was he really thinking that Rav Yochanan said, even for the Dharmas? So then that goes against our Mishnah. How could Rav Yochanan go against the Mishnah? Elabastis, the Tani ain't poskin la peros, Achi et Sashar, but Yot Sashar poskin, Hechemish Kachasla. Did Rav Asi really think that Rav Yochanan argues with our Mishnah? So the Gemara answers, no, Masnis and our Mishnah, Rav Yochanan could have said, Bechite the Achleve, the Arve, the Moshuch Taritve. There's something even more than the Dormus. And that, Rashi explains, is Mishiaschilu Bali Batim, the Otre Peros, Liftoach Otroseim. This is when the people go to their storehouses and start selling from their storehouses. Usfinos boats binar hamivios tevua limkar, and the big boats come with their tevua. So this is even more than the marketplace. This is basically opening up a definitive shar. So maybe that's what our Mishnah was talking about. But the Dharmus, maybe Rav Yochanan would say, no, the Dharmus is like the Ayaros. It's like the smaller villages. And therefore, one could not be posik on that. So Kamash Ulan, the small Ayaros, Rav Yochanan said, no. But the Dharmus, and certainly the Achlevei and the Achlevei in the storehouses and the Arvei in the boats. So that certainly is a valid, definitive shah. Okay, Gwar brings down the following price, Tana Rabban. Ein poskin ala peiros, actually it's a shar. That quotes exactly what we have in the Mishnah. You're not allowed to go and do these forward contracts, pay 100 now to get 150 produce later on, unless the shar has been established. Actually it's a shar. Yotz a shar poskin. Once the shar is established, you can do this. And it says, because afa pisha ein lezeh, yesh lezeh. Fine, that's exactly a quote from our Mishnah. Now it adds the additional thing. Hayu chadoshos miarba. If new wheat, new grain, which has not dried out, and therefore will not make as much flour because it's moist and it's puffy. So therefore, hayu chadoshos me'arba. So for a single seller, you can actually get 4 saw worth of the new. However, the yishanos, the dried up grain, which will make more flour, so that you have to pay a premium for. Ushanos, these older grains that are dried up, mishalos, that you can only get 3 saw for every seller. So you're not allowed to go and be posek, ain't poskin, if you want to go and give somebody for new grain and expect to get old dried out grain, so that you can't do until they have the same price. Eventually they'll have the same price when the new grain has been dried out already, so then it becomes as valuable as the old grain. You can be posek on the new grain and get old grain only once the prices are the same. Otherwise, Rashi points out, it would be a ribbis concern. You're paying for new grain, and you're getting older grain eventually at the same price as the new grain. So instead of getting 3, you're getting 4. That would be ribbis. Similarly, the Braisa tells us, Hayu lekutos me'arba, if the people that go around and collect all the matnos aniyim, for example, the people that come in to collect the peya or the leket or the shechicha, so that usually is not as high quality because A, they're collecting stuff that was left behind. B, they're collecting from multiple fields and they're putting it together. And they may not even be all the same species. As Rashi points out, some could be spelt and some could be wheat. So it is not as valuable. So hoyulukutos mi arba. So you pay a seller to get 4 saw. As opposed to the regular produce of a person, that you're paying a seller to get 3 saw. In other words, the regular person's grains are more valuable than the Lukutos people's grains because of the reasons that I mentioned. So then, ain't poskin, you're not allowed to go and pay for expecting to get 4 from the Lukutos and then get 3 from the Baal B'nai Adam because you're basically getting ribbons in that situation. Ain't poskin. Unless achayetzi ashar leloke lemocher, eventually the prices are becoming the same. Once they're the same, then you can do this. Now, Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman said, but you can do poskin lekutos b'shar lekutos. So these people who are collecting these grains from the matnos aniyim from different fields, even different species, so then here you can be posek, and you say, I'll give you now a seller, and you'll give me eventually 4. That you're allowed to do. Now, that was what Rav Nachman said. And Rav questions it. Somebody, Rav Nachman says, why? Maishno loke, why by the Lukutos did you say you're allowed to do this? There is no problem with poskim. Why? Because the lesle yosef mi lokut chavre. Because if he doesn't have it himself, so nevertheless, he'll go get it from somebody else. So it's as if Reuven already gets it in his possession right now. And therefore, any improvement in it is something that's not a ribbis concern. But then why, if one locket can go get it from another locket, so it doesn't say the same thing about a balabais. Balabais nami, yosef mi locket. Why don't we say that the balabais can go get from a locket as well? He'll borrow it from a locket and give it to the person. So why can't you be posek even with a balabais? So the more answers, Rav Nachman tells back to Rava, Amalei, balabais zila be milsa lemezaf mi locket. Teretz number 1 that Rav Nachman said is because a balabais doesn't want to have anything to do with these lakutos. He says, you know, I'm a rich businessman over here. I'm a real owner of land. And these guys, they're paupers. I don't want to have anything to do with paupers. I'm not borrowing stuff from a pauper. And therefore, there's no way they'll get it. So that's teretz number 1. Balabais zila be milsa. It's below his dignity, lemezaf mi locket, to go and borrow it from one of the lakutos. So therefore, it won't be happening. Teretz number 2, Ibai Seba, Rav Nachman says to Rava, One could say, man di yoev zuzi lebalabayis, apere shapire yoev. When you're giving money to a balabayis, you want to get the balabayis' good stuff. You're not expecting him to go and borrow something from Lakutos. And therefore, he will not be able to go and give you Lakutos stuff. He can only give you balabayis type quality. And therefore, that's why you can't be posek over here for the Lakutos from the balabayis. Okay. Mark continues and says, Rav Sheish is Rav Huna. Rav Sheish is the name of Rav Huna. And Lovin al Shar Shebishuk. He says, you're not going to go and do a loan on the set value of the price of the shuk. Rashi explains what this is. He rings down Dibra Matzul in Lovin al Shar Shebishuk. First he gives his own pshat, and then he'll give the pshat from the Bahag. So first he says, Ani Shemati, I heard from my Rebbeim, Ein Lovin Moz Bederech Halva. You can't go and borrow money as a regular loan. Reuven can't loan Shimon money. Shimon can't go and borrow money from Reuven. Almanas, with the understanding, Shem lo ashalim l'chomos, if Shimon can't pay back Reuven the $100, adzman ploni, until the set time that they had agreed, let's say 1 month, so attain lo loch peros kishar shalashav. I'll give you fruits like it's worth right now, even though those fruits will be worth more later on. So that you can't do. The avogad the derek me'akachumem kachshari. This might be permissible in terms of the business dealings that we said you can be posek on the shar, but you can't go and take a loan out on the shar. Derech halva osur. That's Rashi's pshat that he heard from his rebbeim. Ani shamati. However, he then brings down the bahag. Ubihuchos gedolos. The great bahag tells us beforeish ein lovin saw besaw. What this is teaching us is you can't go and borrow. We've talked about this previously. This is a very important principle. You can't go borrow a loaf of bread and then pay back a loaf of bread 2 weeks later because loaves of bread change in price. And this could be ribbis. If it was 99 cents when you borrowed it from him and now you're returning to him, it's $1.19. This guy just got 20 extra cents. So you're not allowed to ever go do sabasa. As I mentioned, how do neighbors go and lend you a cup of sugar, a cup of coffee, a loaf of bread? So there we say basically that people are basically giving everything over as a present. And it's not, I'll give you a loaf of bread and you'll return me a loaf of bread. No, I gave you a loaf of bread as a present. No, one day I'll get a cup of coffee from you. I'll get a cup of sugar from you. And therefore, you'll give me a present back. And it's not actually saw besaw. But technically, saw besaw is a din of ribbis. Ribbis the Rabbanon. And therefore, this case is saw besaw. Al smach shar shebishuk. And you're doing this relying upon, well, I can get this item right now in the shuk. The neimah, he could say, ho, v'chite behini v'chite b'shili, since there are, in fact, wheat in the city of Hini, which is a major marketplace, and wheat in Shili, which is another major marketplace, Havalei, it would therefore be like the case, which we said previously, is permissible, and we'll learn it again on Daf Ayin Hey, that if a person says, listen, I have this in my possession, but I can't get to it right now, wait till my son comes and he'll get it for you, or I'll wait till I find the key and then I'll get it for you, so that is acceptable. So one might have thought that this was acceptable as well. So the Bahag says, no, that it's not. And that's the second shot over here that we have in Rashi. The first one, Ani Shamati, heard from his Rebbeim, and the second shot from the Bahag. And they explain, Rav Sheish said, name Rav Huna, Ein Lovin Al Shar Shebishuk. Either like Rashi's first shot, that it's dealing with a Hava that's not allowed, a loan is different than a purchase, and the second shot from the Bahag is saw besaw, and that wouldn't be allowed. Amalei Rav Yosi bar Chamla Rav Sheishes, and other Sivya Amilo, it was Rav Yosi bar Abba who said to Rav Sheishes, Umi Am Rav Huna Hochi. Did Rav Huna really say state this? That which Rav Sheishes said in the name of Rav Huna. Did Rav Huna really say this? V'ha boi mi name Rav Huna. They, the Therish, asked Rav Huna this very question. Hani B'nei Beirav, they asked him, these yeshiva students, these B'nei Beirav, D'yosvei B'tishrei, they borrowed money during the month of Tishrei. Upare b'teves, and they paid back, Rashi explains, upare b'teves, kishar shel Tishrei, with fruit from the prices of Tishrei. In other words, that's exactly what we just said, according to the first pshat of Rashi, that's not allowed. And according to the second pshat of Rashi, the Bahag, this was saw besaw. So that would also not be allowed. So they asked this to Rav Huna, are they b'nei b'rav allowed to do this? Sharei o asir, and he told them, amaluhu, yes, there's plenty of wheat available in Hini. That was a famous marketplace. There's plenty of wheat available in Shili. And therefore, if they wanted to, they could have gone and bought it right then and there and paid back their debts with the money from Tishrei. And therefore, this type of a loan arrangement is allowed. So this statement, Beferish, in the name of Rav Huna, seems to contradict the statement that we just brought down from Rav Sheishes in the name of Rav Huna. So the Gemara says, yeah, Rav Huna Taka retracted his original statement. Meikara, in fact, originally, Rav Sheish is brought down from Rav Huna, Sava Rav Huna ain't loving. He said, yeah, you're not allowed to do this. However, he heard, Kivan Deshama Laha, the Amr of Shmuel Barachia, Amr Belazar, he heard that Shmuel Barachia said, Amr Belazar, that you are allowed to do this loving. So he said, Amar, Iyu Nami loving. So then I will allow this as well for the reasons that we brought down, because there is already wheat in Hini, and there is already wheat in Shili, and therefore, if they wish to, Ibai Zavne, Uparile, they could have bought it and paid it back right then and there. So therefore, when they pay it back later on, it's not a problem. Another Braisa, Tana Rabban, we learn the following Braisa, Hamolich Chavila Mimokum Mimokum. If a merchant was bringing produce from one place to another place, and in the first place where he had it, it was at a lower price, and he's bringing it to a place where he can sell it at a higher price. So, Mitzol Chaveiro, his friend finds him and says, listen, I would like that. I understand you're bringing it to the higher place. Well, I'll pay you for the higher place money. Give it to me right now. Mitzol Chaveiro, Viamalo, Tinali, give it to me for the high price money, but I'll pay you later on. I won't pay you right now, but I'll pay you later on, and I'll give it to you for the higher price, even though right now it's only worth this much over here. It's worth 100 over here right now, but I'll give you the 150 that you would be able to get for it from the higher price place. So is this allowed or is this not allowed? So we turn to Ayin Gimel of an Aleph, and the Gemara says, the Braisa continues and says, Birushus Mocher, as Rashi explains, top Rashi, in Kibel Alov Mocher Achrayis Haderech, if the one who is selling this, the person who's transferring the package from one place to the other, so if he's accepting upon himself that he'll be responsible for it until it gets to that other place, in other words, the purchaser, Shimon in this situation, is bringing it to the other place, he's willing to pay for it at that later point in time, but he'll pay for it at that higher price. But he's getting the object earlier on when it's worth the lower price. He's getting it in the place where it's worth 100, and he's going to take it to the other place where it's worth 150. So this is only allowed if Reuven, the owner of it, is still responsible for it. And he'll actually have to pay Shimon for taking it over there. He'll pay him some fee for transporting it over there. And in that situation, he can go and get the higher price for it, even though he's giving it to him right now. That's if it's Birushus Mocher, then it's Mutter. However, it's Birushus Lokeach, if the person who's purchasing it he's responsible for it. So then, as Rashi points out, if it's in the Rishus of the Lokeach, it's also Dimihashto Milvahu Gabe, because right now it's a loan. He now has this, and he's getting it at 100, and he's going to be returning it at 150. V'yavle Tufiana. And he's going to go and return it for a higher price, and that is Ribbis. Okay, I know this is a tough shir. This is Ezehu Neshech. It's not an easy parak, but we'll stop over here. We're in the middle still of the sugya of Saw B'Saw. We'll continue here tomorrow. Everybody should have a wonderful day.